Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardy, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
Oh, yeah.
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot. I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I was kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Out in the swamps, what you think I've seen? Something strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on the side of his knee, and we're talking moccasin and joke. Well, the party they gon' have out in the St. John's Swamps. Sasquatch doing a brand new dance, and they call it the Bigfoot Stomp.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Viscardi. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Viscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
It's howdy doody time, folks. You bet your bottom boots. Boy, I'm telling you, I got a lot to talk about tonight. We've got a co-host, Rocky. He's back tonight. He's feeling much, much better. Our co-host crime is in mind both. The Swede, he's got that damn COVID. Him and his wife both, and this is the second time, and it's kicked him pretty hard in the ass. I'll tell you that straight up. That man takes an awful lot to get his ass down, but I'll tell you straight up, he's fighting it pretty hard right now. Also have on the line our good buddy Chris. Chris, good evening.
Hello.
How are you, bud? Good to hear your voice. Good to hear your voice.
Good to hear you.
We have Atwood with us, the monk that's from Thailand, and we're going to have a nice little parlay on what's going on. How are you tonight, At?
I am good, thank you. Good to be here.
Good. So I first want to, because it's been a while since he's been with us, and he's been recuperating pretty damn, he's over at the store. They told him and week. They were out there amongst the brush just a couple of days and got back out and everything. And just wanted to bring him on and see how he's doing. I want him to listen to what's going to happen up here in Thailand. Good evening to you, Mr. Bear Hugger. How are you? Rocky, you still with us?
Yeah. I accidentally muted myself out.
Okay.
You know how it is. These prehensile thumbs sometimes get in the way.
I get it. I sure get it, yeah. But what do you think about this good buddy, Swede?
I don't know. Anytime the Swede goes down, it comes as a shock to me. I mean, we're talking, that man's as tough as a keg of nails.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's hitting him and Trish are both, they've been hit hard. They didn't have enough stuff going on.
You know, ladies and gentlemen out there around the globe, I want to tell you a story. My own doctor, believe it or not, about 48 years old, got the COVID not once but twice. Then I got a letter from her yesterday stating that she was retiring because she was out about 3 months. And then when she came back, she was telling me the story, ladies and gentlemen, that when she was swallowing, it felt like she was swallowing charred pieces of glass or razor blades. And when she was telling the story, she was having a hard time telling me because it brought back bad memories. And then, you know, I tried to get it talking a lighter subject with her, and it hit her hard. And then when I got this letter that she retired, it's only 48 years old, for Christ's sake, okay? But it hit her. It knocked her down, man. How long were you down for, Rocky?
I'm still partially down. What was it, 21? 2021 that it got me? And, I'm still not anywhere near up to snuff.
How long were you hospitalized?
I was hospitalized for about a month. It was really bad for the first 3 weeks, but once I got out of the COVID ICU and got taken off the death list, things started improving, but it was real slow.
I imagine. So let me ask you something. Now that I got you by yourself without swings, when you got out there in the brush, what happened when you went down there to seeing those guys that live out there?
Well, you know how those guys are. They're living out in the woods because they want to be totally off the grid. But you know, we don't really know any of them. We just talked to them a couple of times. But they said the one, he was a younger guy. I had never met him before. But he said that they heard all kinds of hollering and whooping way down past our old campsite.
Yeah.
And so we moved. We found us another spot just a little bit further away from the Viking camp than before. And anyhow, we did hear some hooping, but it didn't you know, we didn't find any. There was no activity that we could, you know, other than bears and wild hogs and deer. And
Tweed was telling me that the hogs were out in abundance.
They were. We'll be riding off down the through there on our four wheelers, and we'd have large groups of them just run out in the road. And you know, some of the boars were, you know, they let us know that we could go when they decided we could go. I mean, they it was like a standoff a couple of times, but they didn't have guns and we did. So, but we weren't out there to shoot hogs, and so we just waited them out. But it was, they were actually about as thick as I've seen them out there.
Rocky, Alicia just emailed me and said, ask Rocky when he was there, has he ever been approached by a game warden for his wife?
Yes.
On his gun?
Yes, I've encountered all the forces of the law out there, and they've always been when you start talking about hogs and bears and deer and all that, you get your standard answers. But then when you start talking about Bigfoot, then it's time for them to go. They just button up. They really don't have any. They really won't discuss it with you. I think mainly because they want to keep their jobs.
Yeah. So let me ask you this: when does boar hunting take?
Deer hunting.
Pig.
Oh, there is no season. You hunt them. You hunt them if you got a gun. That's the only thing.
Hold on. Here's another question. Alicia says, so if it's open country and you can get as many as you want and you killed six of them and a game warden came by, he wouldn't gag you on anything?
No, he would make sure that I had enough ammunition to kill six more. the first time I asked the game warden what was the limit on hogs, and he said, how much ammunition do you carry? And I said, well, I usually carry about 20 on me, and then, you know, if need be, I've got more in the truck. And he said, use them all. He said, kill every hog you see. And he said, if you run out of ammo, if you can catch up to them, kill them with an axe. He said, just kill them because they're a definite, they're an invasive species is what they are.
Yeah. Here, this girl's really inquisitive. Alicia says, hey, Rocky, have you ever seen that movie with the Asian people during the 1800s where in little Chinatown, in the western town, they had a little Chinatown, like she said, and a corral full of pigs. And anytime they wanted to get rid of a body or something, they used to come by and give the Chinaman a silver dollar and say, here, put him in the pig pen. And she said, is there any truth?
Now, I don't know this to be a fact, but I've been led to believe that that two hogs could eat a man in 4 hours.
Right now, you're right, Rocky. She says that's exactly right. This guy had a pen of 12, and they devoured two adults close at all, okay, in less than 4 hours, she said.
Well, me and the Swede knew a guy over in, northeast of, or actually it's east of us. He was hitting the jug a little bit too hard one day, and kind of the way the story was always told was he was sitting on the top rail of the pig pen and fell in. And later on, they found his overalls, his boots, but he was gone. So, I mean, yeah, it's all true. There's I read a book of letters from guys from the Civil War, and the one Confederate soldier said that he wasn't afraid of dying. He was afraid of the hogs eating him before he had a chance to die. And that was over in Prairie Grove, over at the Battlefield Park. They're dangerous, and me and the Swede are both a lot more afraid of the wild hogs than we are bears or any of that other stuff.
Okay, at least Seth comes back and says, here's another question for you, Doc. He says, are the ones that we buy in the store, the meat from a pig, the same as a wild boar, yes or no?
No. No. With the wild boar, you're a lot more apt to get stuff like brucellosis and all that kind of stuff. That's why you cook a wild hog almost to the point of destruction, and to be sure that you kill all of the stuff that they have in them from the water and just wallowing around in their own shit and everything.
So she said, Alicia says, Rocky, what happens if you have a pig that are here?
I'm sorry, I'm getting a lot of feedback or something.
Well,
somewhere,
yeah,
I didn't quite hear.
Are fiddling around and stuff. I'll just mute them all out until I call upon them. I was hoping that they'd be more.
I've been there.
Yeah, you know the story. So,
yeah.
She says, if there was a corral of 12 pigs that were raised here for slaughter, and they hadn't been fed for a week, and two bodies were placed in there, would the pigs eat them? Yes or no?
Yeah. Yeah.
The regular
pigs. No. Yeah.
Not the wild boars.
Feral hog, wild hog. Just an old barnyard hog. It might wait a little bit longer before it ate you, but once it got started, the time factor's about the same.
Okay, I get it. All right. I get it. All right, Alicia, I hope you got all your answers, your questions answered. We're going to go to commercial real quick here, and on the other side of the commercial, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to speak to At, you know, our friendly resident monk. A lot of new things have come into question, and we'll be answering some of those questions. So we're going to go to a commercial right now, and on the other side, we're going to be here.
1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I got to tell you, that's the day I thought I was going to challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
was down like 12 tracks on the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
There he is.
Did you hear that?
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television entitled Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight. And I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot. I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I was kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we're back. And boy, I got to tell you, every time I hear that little titty, it just makes the hair go up on my back and neck like you wouldn't believe it. Like I told you, we got Pat with us tonight. Got some questions for him, and he'll answer them. And here we go. Pat, how are you?
I am good. Good to be here.
Okay, buddy. Good. I'm glad that you're here with us. I really am. A lot of questions have been going on, and a lot of information has come to us right now. One, the corrupt police departments, the corrupt governments. It's been crazy as hell, okay? And everybody's been worried, all right? So my problem is I don't have those answers, but you do, okay? You have those answers. Or I know that you'll be getting them when you go over there. So, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to put Pat on the phone. He's the guy that started this with us. Great guy. He's a monk, and he hadn't been there in 4 years now, but he's conversing with the people, but they haven't conversed back as readily as he's expected them to because there's a lot of commotion going on over there. I'll just give you a little hint. There's been kidnappings going on. It blew me away. I get a call from China, believe it or not, and they said to me, Tom, stay out of Thailand. And I said, what are you talking about? He says, if they're kidnapping people and only asking $17,000 and $20,000 for ransom, what the hell is going to happen if you or one of your guys get kidnapped? And I says, well, never thought of that. And then I says to him, well, we're probably going to have chaperones from the government or local, you know, police department and stuff. He says, that's no good. He says they're in it with everybody else just to make a buck. And then I go to Google this and stuff, and I'm, my God, here's a woman that was kidnapped at her ATM. They put her in this van or car, and she's going down a freeway, heavily congested. She makes her way out of the bounds and gets out of the car, and she's screaming for help, help, help. One of the people that I'm talking about that got kidnapped. So what do you think of all this right now, Pat?
Yeah, from our source, from my source, that's exactly what's happening. I am totally in shock. Just this over this weekend, there were two mall shootings. I mean, daylight in a congested shopping mall. And so it just blows my mind away right now how Thailand can get that to be like that. I guess the economy is not good right now. There's another bout of COVID,
which is hitting Asia pretty hard. But the government, like most countries in Asia.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that, because the same guy who does a lot of business over there, okay, who is Asian himself, and his name, he asked me not to, and I'll abide by that, says to me, Tom, you have no clue what's going on. He says this new strain of COVID is taking these countries by storm. And what's going to happen is it's going to be worse than it was last time. They're going to close the states, the government down, the cities, and the whole nine countries down. You're not going to, if you're there, you're not going to be able to come home. Or if we're here, we're not going to be able to get in. You know?
That's exactly what I'm hearing. And it's kind of scary. I'm this is the time of the year. I normally go back to Thailand between November to February to go teach. And I'm having a hard time trying to coordinate with my people because it was just they're all scared of new people coming into the village, coming into the country with all the strains of COVID right now. So with everything going on, I don't think I highly suggest that, you know, the trip needs to be postponed because there's so many uncertainty. Because with the COVID and with the corruption and with the crime rate right now, I mean, Thailand is not a place where you want to be like it was like, you know, 5 or 6 years ago. It's like a new country now. It's crazy.
Yeah, and I'm glad you said that because Joan's best friend for 26 years, she retired here, went to back to Bangkok. She called and says, do not come here now. Do not come here. We cannot protect you guys. We're having a hard time with ourselves right now. And her name is Renew, okay? And it says, Renew, what's going on? She says, nobody goes out at night any longer because they're afraid of getting robbed, stabbed, killed, kidnapped if they know that you've got some money.
And to interrupt you for a second, Tom, and the news will never, you know, let all of this come out because they don't want tourism to go down. So they suppress all the, you know, all their happenings in Thailand. The only time you're going to get correct news is from the local people because the local news and stuff like that, they're going to suppress all that and they're going to censor everything.
By the way, the same guy that called me, the reason why he called me in the first time, the main reason was he says, Tom, you're going to have to worry about getting death threats. Said, what are you talking about? Is there a place called Phuket?
Oh, yeah, most definitely. It's a very popular beach destination.
Yeah. He says that he had put the word out, you know, trying to find out what was going on. He says that there was somebody that was following us in Phuket. The word back that you tell the Bigfoot hunter, he comes over here. He says he'll get a dose of Thailand stuff, Thailand style. I said, really? I said, okay.
And, yeah, I mean, you know, yeah. I'm in shock right now with, you know, where my country is going. And I don't know. To tell you the truth, I don't think it's safe right now. Times have changed. And like I said, I haven't been back, you know, over 4 years pre-COVID. And I'm trying to make my way back now. But the people I talk to, even the people I used to talk to, I'm having a hard time getting a hold of. I mean, they're just, you know, trying to make ends meet right now. The economy's bad. And so when the economy is bad, people turn to crime. Sad to say, but that's where we're at right now. It's with the COVID coming too.
You know, I totally appreciate the truth because that's the only thing I want to talk about is the truth. What's going on here? Because it's at the point now, and That's all we need, man. We need some. Any of my crew gets kidnapped on myself.
No, God forbid. You know, even if we go there, right, and we catch COVID, man, the treatment it's not going to be good over there.
It's just the timing.
We're going to hear in the news in the United States, I believe, in another 2 weeks, how bad COVID really is right now. It's a lot of COVID right now.
And that
could I interject something here, Tom?
Please do.
I talked to a friend of mine. I met him just after he got out of Vietnam, and he was making trips back and forth to Thailand, and anyhow, I finally got hold of him and talked to him about this very subject, and he said that the kidnap rate was actually up to about 25 a day, and
whoa,
that it was all, it was all kind of low budget. But anyhow, I said, okay. I said, what about firearms? I said, is it possible to lay hands on firearm? And he said, you can get any kind of firearm you want to illegally, because it is, said it's the black market center for the gun trade, and it even beats out Cambodia and Vietnam. And he
wow.
said that right at the time, when I told him that, I said, friends of mine are thinking about going over there. And he said, well, if they're real good friends, he said, give them big hugs before they go, because there's always the chance you'll never see them again.
No. And you know what? I appreciate what this man has said. I want to get Chris's 2 cents in on this. Chris, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
What do you think about all this stuff that's happening?
It's just par for the course. This is a foreign country. Part of it would probably be, I guess, labeled third world, even though they have some really modern, there's some really modern type of stuff, in the cities, they're starting to get some more technology, some of the housing, the housing market places to stay are pretty modern and up to date with Wi-Fi and all that stuff. But, it's just like anything else. You go to the wrong side of the tracks and you're going to find trouble. And there's going to be people that are desperate, because they, what our money converts to with their money is, it's unreal. We could get a really nice condominium, or a nice, nice suite with the, with a gym and a pool and overlooking, with an ocean view for, like $270 for a month. And with the washing and dryer, all that stuff, and the Wi-Fi and all that stuff. But you get out into the outskirts where people aren't living like that, and they know that, if you got some money in the pocket, they see a nice tourist looking good, like he's got something, but it's like any other third world country. You don't want to be flashy. You go into Mexico, you want to just have a pair of flip-flops, a wrinkled, shirt with some shorts. And, you don't want to be out there blinging with, the nice watch and the nice necklace and all that stuff, because you're going to be a target the minute you're, walking down the alley. And it's just the way it is, They know that, your watch or your necklace might be worth a year's worth of pay to them. And so that's it puts us at a disadvantage. You know, the best way is to have people there that you know that have lived there for a while, and to go immediately and integrate with them. You know, they see a bunch of strangers and just jump off the boat or off the plane, and we look like we're looking around like we've never, you know, we have that look like we don't know where we're at. We're a mark. We're instantly a mark. And
we'll be a walking ATM for them.
Yeah, pretty much. And sad to say, because like they said, 5 years ago, we could have been that, just walking down the road and these strangers may take you into their home and feed you. They don't even know you, and they're all smiles and not so much corruption. But, you know, almost every outlaw biker faction has taken up a place over there in Thailand. They got everybody over there. They got Hells Angels. They got Banditos.
Yeah. Friends were telling me the Harley Davidson gangs. It's crazy now.
Yeah, and they're causing those people, you know, once, because, you know, the Mongols and the Hells Angels, they don't get along. The Banditos don't get along with, you know. So I mean, now you got people. We've infiltrated their country with stuff that was spawned here in the United States, and now we got people that would have been probably getting along with each other before all this happened. Now they see these other people with the other patch as their rivals, and now we've basically caused the corruption of what we have here in the United States over there. And these people they see that other patch and they go, they don't even know that person from Adam, and they instantly see them as their rival. They don't know why they're mad or why they want to kill those people. They just know that they have the other patch and that's their enemy. And that's our fault. We brought that stuff over there. So they probably have a lot to resent what we've done, you know, with the stuff that we've, you know, brought into their country. And, you know, there's probably people that just roll their eyes when they know that Americans are, you know, coming into their area because they've seen what the problems we've caused. It's pretty bad.
I want to ask you guys for a minute. You know, I told you about what my Asian friend said. The thing that shocked the hell out of me was, he says, the corruption in the local, state, and country government, where everybody's on the take, looking the other way.
Yeah, that's what I hear now. Yep. Yeah, there's...
He told me a story. He says, listen, because they got a lot of, how do you put it, human trafficking, but for children, young kids, you know, young, 16 and under, I guess he said. And he says, let me tell you...
10 and under.
Oh, is it 10? Well, 16 and under, 10 and under, same thing, isn't it?
They go for babies.
Oh, do they really? So here's what he said. He says, Tom, out of 87,000 cases, okay, over there, he says, only one person got convicted. And I says, how come, pray tell? He didn't have the money to pay the judicial system off. Is that true, Matt?
I hate to say it, but it's the truth now. I am in shock where my country is heading. The corruption is everywhere. It's, you know, every small, you know, every policeman has his hand out now. Just with the economy being what it is, the whole world, with, you know, in the United States, when we had COVID, we had the government supporting us. You know, we got some income and everything. But in my country, the government doesn't help with anything. So it's a free-for-all when you have no money to, you know, to feed your family. And if you're a cop, you're gonna turn your back against the law, and you're going to be corrupted. That's what I'm hearing, too.
Here's listen to this. This just came in right now. You can buy a baby there for $5,000. That's a baby. And then 7-year-olds and under are $2,000. And I'm talking about to take them with you, buy them. People want to sell these. I mean, does worldwide jurisdictions apply to these people? I don't know. I can just tell you this, folks, okay? It's a friggin' shame. And the information I'm getting is pretty liable. You know, I mean, I'm reliable. They know what they're talking about. And then Rocky came in and gave his 2 cents in about with the Vietnam situation. Now, I know about that going on, too. I was shocked. No, not shocked, because, you know, we were there. We knew the story. And there's places outside of the main towns. Oh, my God. You know, it just blew me away. You know, how the people are living there, and it's just, you can do anything you want. You know?
Young girl. Yes,
is what?
Young girls are trade goods in Thailand right now. A 10-year-old is, of course, now a lot of that is people coming from other countries that are herbs anyhow, that can actually just go out to a village and, you know, see a little girl that he likes and buy it from her parents, from the parents.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. It's not, you know, I'm ashamed to tell you, but it's true.
Well, it's true that, you know, it's one of those things. What we did, well, the thing, that's throwing a mighty wide net, because I've never been there. So none of this stuff that's happening has anything to do with the people that's talking on the show now. It's a whole different thing. We're the ones that see the bad.
Yeah, but how long does it take before the rest of the world sees that same bad?
It's been in the news for years, but unfortunately the news is the best advertisement the traffickers have.
I think that's why those speakers have come into there, because they know they can corrupt the police. They have basically a loose stance on prostitution. The marijuana industry just opened wide open over there. So you got a lot of entrepreneurs, legal and illegal, trying to head there to get in on this boom. It's a huge problem. There's so much stuff going on there. It's a powder keg waiting to happen.
No, I got to step in and tell you guys something. How many of you people saw Denzel Washington's new movie? It's something 3, Equalizer 3. Have you guys
Equalizer?
Seen that movie? Yeah, Equalizer 3, the latest one out. The reason is I saw it, and they talk about the Camorra. Camorra is just another word for the mafia. That's the new generation, okay? And if you watch Equalizer 3, you're going to see how corrupt the government is there in Sicily. And what I'm trying to say is it goes from the governor to the city officials, how corrupt they all got, and that when the godfather of the Camorra called the governor to come see him, which everybody feared, he didn't agree with him. Well, he didn't give a shit. He had one guy hold his mouth shut, and the other one with his hand down, and he cut off his hand. Okay? and he put it in a champagne pail with a bunch of ice to send a message to everybody and said, you make sure that when we tell you to do something, you do it. It's the governor, man. So they're all on the friggin' take. Not only just Thailand, not only Cambodia, not only Sicily. Thinking to myself, holy shit. And during that time, you'll see, if you go watch it, the Equalizer 3, you'll see what happened. That they all turned evidence. They all turned evidence on everybody, okay? Everybody, you know, not to go to prison and jail and get butt-fucked and all the other thing that goes along with it. I'm just in shock that nobody's coming to the front and saying, hey, you know what it's going to happen at? I'm going to tell you when it's going to happen. When it hurts the tourism and nobody goes there any longer, okay, and they don't take advantage of these poor children, because that's exactly what's happening. I mean, come on, be real. You know, I got so much to talk about. Let me go to one more commercial before the end of the hour here. And on the other side, I want to get your thoughts on it.
Yes.
1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
Down like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
There he is.
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter for ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight. I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion. I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
Well, I landed on the ground, I was kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Well, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. I'll tell you what. This email is getting blown up on this subject here. I just got one here. I never even knew about this. I'm going to explain it to you. We're going to have Ath back on real here right after I talk about this. This came in and it says, it's happening right now in the United States as well. The CPS workers, Child Protection Services, you know, takes kids away from their parents. They are getting paid to take children away from their parents, and they're selling them away to other people for the highest bidder. What in the hell's going on, ladies and gentlemen? This is getting sick. Okay, give me your 2 cents, man. I'm just, it's blowing my mind, dude.
No, it's Tom. I am in total shock because, like I said, I'm making my plans to go to Thailand in the end of November and December. But the people I've talked to, they are so, I mean, way out there anymore. I don't even recognize them because they're so scared of the economy. They're so scared of where the COVID's hitting them. They're so scared, you know. It's they're just in a state of paranoid right now. And the whole country is trying to pump up tourism, and so they let people enter Thailand without even being showing a vaccination card. But yet if you go to the CDC website in Thailand, and they'll tell you there's a surge of COVID there. I mean, it's totally, it's wild. Because now I'm doing my research because I plan to go. But with everything, you know, they're saying about the COVID, you know, in Asia, I'm scared to travel now.
And I don't blame you. I don't blame you, young man. Rocky, what's your 2 cents on this, buddy? I need your help.
Well, the drug cartels are selling children over here in the United States, as well as drugs, which is the big thing in Thailand, selling kids, selling drugs. There's really no real way to fight it without bringing the military in. And well, bring in the military. That's the only thing that I can see, and I don't want to see that either, because you know there's a certain number of the military that's going to say, well, you know, we're not, our military isn't paying us enough. So, but that's about my 2 cents.
But Rocky, you know, to hear these emails and texts that are coming in, our own people working for the CPS,
yeah,
you know, the Children Protection Service, we can't even trust them, son of a bitches.
Absolutely not.
Wow. Ladies and gentlemen around the globe, I hope you're listening to this. And if anybody that's got an ear close to it or has a friend, please let them know. You know, this show will be air on the pod tomorrow and turn them on to it. Let them listen to what we've talked about here tonight, because I'll tell you what, right now, I'm so sick, and I mirror you, Rocky, I mirror you also, Chrissy. You mean to tell me all you have to do is have a Harley Davidson and colors on your back, now the whole world's going to fear you when you go to Thailand? Is that what it's about, Chris?
Well, I think that the people in Thailand would be scared. I know that people here in Arkansas are scared of certain members of the outlaw gangs. You know how it is in California. When it comes right down to it, people are scared to death of the biker gangs because they're not truthfully allowed to do anything about it. Right, the way things are right now, you know, you get in trouble for protecting yourself.
And that's another subject that gets me ticked off every time I think about it. How in the hell can that happen? You know, why would you're protecting yourself and your family, so therefore you got a right to bear arms and it's your property, and if somebody comes in there to violate you and your family, you mean to tell me you can't blow them away?
Next time you get a chance to stop into a gun store in California, look and see how much the taxes have gone up on firearms and ammunition.
Gone crazy, hasn't it?
Yep. Thank you, Gavin Newsom.
Yeah, I told you what he did with the gasoline prices, too. Chris, are you still with us?
Well,
I guess Chris went to sleep. Well, he was with us there for a while. I don't know. You know, I'm just twixt and bewildered. And I hear you, and I feel it in your voice. I honestly and truly do, okay? It's just bothering me to no end. And you think that this is a wise idea, that you're still going to go?
To tell you the truth, I have second thoughts about going back to my country at all anymore. to hear what, you know, people that I used to be close with, and they're telling me they're scared. And,
sorry, I had that on hold. What I said was there's these rival factions. Normally these people, because they've gone over there and infiltrated the local population and say, can we set up shop here? I'll give you a patch and a motorcycle, you know, a jacket. And these people normally, they would have sat there and had lunch with each other before all this happened. Now they think, oh, I can't like that person because they have a different patch than me. It's a total nightmare, and they're jockeying for position who's going to be, you know, the dominant force now. And we did this. This is our fault.
By introducing Harley Davidson to the Asian countries.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you this. Go ahead.
On a bigger note, okay, it's not because of the motorcycle gang. It's just what the gang represents. They go in there and they get into the drug trade.
Right.
They associate the drug trades with the gangs. There's a lot of good people who ride Harley Davidsons in Thailand.
But
the bad one who go over there. And then they get into drugs. They import the drugs and, you know, and they do other corruption and stuff.
Yeah, they're into the drugs, the prostitution, any kind of rackets, you know, all that stuff that, you know, that they're into every little money-making scheme that is, you know, in a gray area of the law or, you know, a illegal.
And if you have money, you could buy your way out of, you know, out of anything in Thailand.
And that's what I understood about that and most of Asia and Vietnam. I told you, out of 86,000 cases for that child stuff, that pervs, as you call them, only one got convicted. And the reason being, he didn't have the money to pay them all off. It's just, ladies and gentlemen, you know, I hope you had your ears on tonight, like I said. If you didn't, it'll be on the iPod tomorrow. God bless you. We kind of got
off topic of Bigfoot.
Yes. But you know what? I think the world needs to understand about
this.
To
know.
Okay?
Yes, exactly. They need to know what's happening.
I want to thank you, Chris. Thank you, Rocky. I want to thank you. If anybody that I forgot, I thank you also. Until next time, America. What a hell of a show. Bye,
everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Three men with a gold and a pack that they'd hold and a promise till the day that they die. Answers to the questions no one's found before. Driving determination, the only key they had to unlock the door. Monsters, myths, and mysteries, legend, tales, and facts. We're all together.